Incoming pitch. Spin rate of 2,500 RPM, 95.6 miles per hour.
Adjusting swing, 12 degrees. Proceed with launch angle.
Thanks for stopping by, checking out the Launch Angle Podcast. I'll be bringing in Rob Silver, Jeff Zimmerman very shortly. I'm Rob D. Catch me on X at Deadpool Hood. If you want to catch the other Launch Angle Podcast that we do every other week besides from the public pod, come check out the Patreon. Pull here to Patreon. Go to patreon.com, put Pull Here to Fantasy in the search bar. It takes you right to it. It's my pinned tweet as well. You get a free week trial. Get to see what else we do when we don't talk on the public pod. We get Discord questions, listener questions. We answer those. Do a ton more, and I got all my other content too that I provide, deep dives on pitchers, free agency if you want the top tier, a whole bunch of stuff. Come check out the site. We'll take care of you there. And all right, everyone enjoy this pod. Rob and Jeff, we got a lot of fun stuff to do, and we've been doing Rob's favorite thing, upon his suggestion as well, is we're doing a mock draft. That's sort of like a semi-mock draft. You'll see it. All right, enjoy. Peace.
Here's the pitch.
All right, welcome into another episode of the Launch Angle Podcast. It's a wonderful Friday, April 26th. The weather's turning here on the East Coast and maybe up in Canada too, Rob, as we were just discussing. But how's everyone doing? Is everyone ready for May? May is upon us, and that means it's only time to do a non-mock fantasy baseball draft. Why not?
Yeah, it's the one thing right now is it seems like teams have decided it's like we're going to give guys like 3 weeks or some X amount of time. They've almost been told that, and now they're starting to demote some guys or really move some lineups around. I was looking at lineups today, so I think we'll kind of see some more movement. I wouldn't be surprised with like a month in when we'll really start seeing some changes, like they're just kind of lost patience with some players.
Yeah, no, I agree. Michael Garcia's life as a leadoff hitter is coming to an end. Was that what you were talking about, Jeff?
Oh, of course him. Yeah, it was. No, I'm just
fucking with you, Jeff. I had a question for you, though, Rob, before we dive in. Have you fixed any National Fantasy Baseball Championships this week yet? Or is that more of the weekend that you like fixing National Fantasy Baseball Championship?
Yeah, it's
contests.
It's just whenever someone decides that I'm up to no good, you know.
Which could be at any time.
Which could be at any time, apparently. Like, if you're standing there and they ask you if you want to get in on a main event, you were signed up for the 31st player. It's apparently sneaky if I get in and the league finalizes and runs. So I can't help it. I mean, I'm just like this magnet for controversy that that I haven't asked for. But hey, whatever. What doesn't kill you only makes you stronger, right?
If you're listening to this and have no idea what the fuck we're talking about, consider your life better off for that.
1,000%. We won't waste your time any further than that.
No.
All right, so it's been pretty, light on the news and notes so far this weekend, and we got something interesting in store for you guys for the latter half of this pod. So we're just going to get into some quick news and notes from Jeff Mining the News, and it includes Alec Manoah and Yario Rodriguez. I think everyone got a little too excited with the Manoah good start. You know, there was a lot of people like, oh, that's it. You know, Yariel's time is over, and Manoah's back to save the Blue Jays, only to have a clunker the next time up. So, Jeff, what do you expect to happen here between both of these starting pitchers? And do you expect any of them to have any value in fantasy going forward for the rest of the season?
With both of them, I think Rodriguez is a good pitcher. They are just limiting his innings. I think everyone kind of expected it without him throwing last year. I kind of wonder if there's going to become a piggyback situation. Maybe Rob has heard more just with the Canada news on what the plan is. But God, Manoah's just, you want him to be good. You've seen him be good, but he just hasn't done it. I don't know if even if he's out on my wire, I don't know what his roster percentage is right now, but it's just not someone I ever would consider even like taking a chance on right now. There's just, I would take chance on Rodriguez first. I mean, by far, but I don't know what we're kind of going to expect from Manoah, but the Blue Jays are just seem to kind of need some kind of pitching help there, you know, that last starter, and maybe they'll try it, but I don't have my hopes up.
There's no reason to be stashing Alek Manoah right now. He can't get AAA hitters out. And sometimes you say, well, but he must be working on something, or he must be just building up. And maybe that's the case, but I think they're going to have to, I mean, unless they just get desperate, but if it's just out of desperation for the Blue Jays, I mean, why do you want that anywhere near your fantasy team? So I understand you'd rather be early than late. You could certainly grab him for a dollar right now, but I think there are much better stashes. Like if you're just speculating on a pitcher, I think I would rather have Jacob DeGrom's 25 innings in September than Alek Manoah. If I just have a dead roster spot and I'm hiding somebody, I'd rather get DeGrom. At least I know I might get 25 good DeGrom innings. Manoah, there's no reason at this point to think that he's just going to become Alek Manoah from 2022, 2021. Obviously the Blue Jays pray and hope that he does, but they have no fucking idea how to just make him back to that guy. Like, he's lost right now.
I think the biggest thing in my mind is, like, when do you determine the psyche of him being brought up and then getting crushed in the major leagues, and how much does that really do it to him as a human being, like on the human element of things? Like, I'm just trying to put myself in his shoes. Like, he's battling back, but as the Blue Jays, when do you say, all right, you know what, I think this might be the best time for him, because I think you have to look at that side of it, right?
But let's say you don't even give a shit about Alek Manoah. Let's say I'm running the Blue Jays based on Phil Dussault's computer. What gives us the best chance of winning that game? There is absolutely nothing about Alek Manoah right now. So say fuck Alek Manoah. I don't give a shit about Alek. No, he's a dirtbag. I don't think Phil's computer at this point says he gives them the best chance of winning any game, even if it's a piggyback, even if you say he's going to come in after, like use who knows who as an opener. There's no reason to think he can get 6, 9, 12 major leaguers out right now. So until he does that, I don't think you can even get into the, like, how bad are we going to bury this guy if he comes up for one game and gives up 8 runs in and gets one out. I just think they have, like, you can find free arms right now if you're the Jays who give you a better chance of winning a game than Alek Manoah, and that's their problem.
Yep. Absolutely agree. Jeff, you also noted that Yandy Diaz is only at 60%. And I want to know, like, what 60% of what exactly? Of him mentally being in the game, of him physically being in control at the bat? So I have so many questions about this.
I mean, I put the whole quote in there and it wasn't exact. It was with a translator, so I don't know if something was missed, but it's like, right. Like, what? It's like he knows something's. Yeah, it seems like something's missing, but it's like him just saying, like, yeah, I'm not even close. Like, all right, then what the hell is the issue? And then
I was wondering. You know, he said, I'm probably at about 60%. And I'm like, your ground ball rate? Because again, it's like, if that gets lost in translation, yeah, no shit, Yandy. We know that about you.
He's looking forward, Rob. This is his ownership rate in the main event in 3 weeks if he doesn't start fucking picking it up.
Oh, man.
What I love is, you know, typically professional athletes say I'm given 110%. Like, 60% is a weirdly specific number.
I know.
Like, I want them to say, like, I'm off right now. but like it's really quite odd to say 60%, and even with translators, like maybe Yandy Diaz is using Shohei Ohtani's old translator, and actually I'm at 60%. That's the win rate on the bets that he's making on baseball games. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Oh my God, quote. You're so right. You're so right. You go 50%, and you go 75%. That's the terms we hear a lot. Yeah. Even 80%. You never hear 60%. Oh, that's so funny. That I just thought it was a funny quote, and it's obviously it's not much to do actionable wise for fantasy baseball, but
I have a Yandy Diaz question though.
Yeah.
I was joking. You don't start cutting Yandy Diaz in 15 team leagues. Are you like looking on Sunday though, if you have hypothetically Yandy Diaz, do you think we're at the point where you need to start streaming a first baseman or a corner guy and benching Yandy until he gets hot, or do you just have enough faith in him because he was so good last year that you can't bench the guy yet? Where are you in terms of, again, not cutting him, but if you have a better streaming option Monday to Thursday or Friday to Saturday, benching him?
If he's your corner, I mean, if you just go into the corner infield in any of your mains or even 15 team leagues, it is brutal.
Yes. Because that's the thing. You could pick brutal. Up like you can pick up Jose Abreu, but why do I think Jose Abreu is going to turn it around before Yandy Diaz?
100%.
I will say maybe in some shallow leagues. I know I was kind of in love with Cronenworth, so I kind of have him in every league. Like I planned on him being a bench bat. I'm sitting Goldschmidt right now, and would rather start Cronenworth. Like he just like. So much is wrong, and I could see doing that with Yandy. If you have someone, would you start Ty France?
Yeah, Ty France, first home run of the year, drive line. It doesn't happen immediately sometimes, but sometimes the drive line 7 weeks later it gives you one home run.
But I mean, but that's where it was kind of like looking at guys like Cronenworth. I had Suarez in a few places, like he was just so late. I know he's going to batting average, but I was like, well, it's a third baseman, and I just plan on my bench to move over whenever at Colorado. I think possibly with players like that, but the wire for third base and first base is because it seems like those are the only two positions getting hurt right now. I know it's not the case, but man, it's rough out there. You need a third baseman, it's just like. Yeah. Matt Vierling, come on down.
Jeez, I really thought Paulie was going to, like, you're going to Colorado. They just called you back up. This is so sneaky. Like, Vlad didn't make a big deal about Paulie. You mentioned it, Rob, in your free agent stuff, but it wasn't like it's a you have to go get him. So I'm like, right. Ooh, like $7, $9 Paulie going into Colorado. This is going to be friggin' awesome. What a sharp move by me. And it's like, nope, not playing and sucking.
Yeah, right. Oh man, those are the ones that, like you said, it can go under the radar. It's just however someone feels in your league about Paulie, you know.
Yeah. By the way, back before we leave the 60%, Ty France triggered something. That's Sex Panther. Maybe he was doing a really bad. If 60% of the time it works all of the time, yes. Like that's the only 60% quote that's out there. Maybe Yandy Diaz was comparing himself to Sex Panther. By saying 60% it works all of 60% of the time it works all of the time, which is basically what Yandy Diaz is doing. It burns your nostrils right now if you're watching him try to hit, because it's not just that he's getting bad results. Like if you watch any Tampa games, he is lost out there swing wise. So much like Sex Panther, you don't want to have anything to do with it.
Oh man, they just watched Anchorman in the clubhouse and he just came out.
Exactly. And he didn't quite understand it. And that's why he kind of screwed up the quote, but he thought it was funny. So he tried to do the 60% thing. There's an explanation for you.
I fucking love it. Oh man. So this weekend, we're going to get Taiwan Walker back in a rotation and Cy Turnbull. Rob, I saw your tweet about this. Jeff really pumped it in there too with the couldn't get whiffs versus AAA guys. And I mean, what are we doing here? How long does this Jeff, you said isn't going to last till June, Walker. Rob, you feeling the same thing or in that range?
I don't know. Dave Dombrowski's the kind of fucker who would like once he gets in there, I don't know. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah.
I think he's gonna get like X starts, and I don't know what that number is. But also, like, they're trying to win. So
And Atlanta's pretty good.
So I think if they like gets, I'm trying to think how many games of getting lit up are there just like, okay, you're done or you're hurt again. Two, three. Like I mean, Kyle Hendricks IL stint that just,
I mean, if
hurts or whatever,
if Walker's velocity readings in the minors are accurate, I haven't looked who's he starting against this weekend, guys. I'm just so angry. I'm not even, I refuse to engage.
The Padres.
The Padres.
At Padres.
So like if he's sitting 90, he could get lit up, and you look at if his velocity is down and his results are crap. I don't know. I assume the answer is in 15s, you hold Turnbull for at least a couple of weeks to see how this plays out. And in 12s, it depends on how tight your roster is. If you can afford to keep him, then be a little bit patient. But obviously, if you need the spot in a 12, then cut him and move on. Do you think that's right? Or am I just a bitter Turnbull owner and it's like, this is what it is, you should move on?
I think in 15s, like, you're holding guys that are worse than him, like, a lot of times. So I think in 15s, it's, you really have to be desperate straights, which you could be. Like, there's a lot of guys heading the IL. He's not doing anything. You have to move on. In 12s, I would just try to set your rotation for next week without, I mean, obviously without planning for him. See if it works. And if it doesn't, let him go. You can also pick him up next week. You know, you can go back. You have the same opportunity everyone else does. But man, that's one of those ones where it's like, yeah, I think it's just going to be individual for teams because it's tough to get someone that's pitching as good as he is off the wire. So if you had someone hurt, if you knew he was hurt and out 2 weeks, would you hold him?
Yes, for sure.
So that's what I'm kind of thinking about right now.
And the difference is, and like, he's pitching well enough and he's going to be rested enough going into next week that if you had a bunch of crappy starting pitching matchups, it's not the craziest thing in the world. Assuming he's not getting sent down to AAA, that he's just going to the bullpen as a long mop up man. It's not crazy that he's going to pitch four innings next week because he will be fully rested. So they can get him in for like two inning stints. So it's not that he may even still be usable is my point. Not as an awesome option, but he's not useless in a 15-team league, Turnbull, I think.
Yeah. Or again, I may be
rationalizing all of this. I may be just in a bitter, bitter Taiwan Walker spiral here. I acknowledge that as possible.
Hey, speaking of the IL. Francisco Alvarez.
Yes.
I don't know how people held on to him.
Yes.
If you were in a league, even a 15-team league, and you had some crappy catcher, Pinto, let's go with him, would you pick up Alvarez with the hope that he's going to be back here in 8 weeks? Like, I don't know when. I just couldn't see myself picking him up. Like, if I put him out there, it's like, okay, Alvarez is still out there. I'll worry about it with maybe, 2 weeks to go?
No, I would consider picking him up. And I say that as a person who dropped him only because I had Sean Murphy, Albies, Berger already on my IL. And that's my worst. I'm like dead last in main event offense in that team. And I just couldn't afford to hold. But if I had a team that was free and void of much else, I would have stashed them as long as I could until I couldn't.
I have been surprised this year how many good owners, like including a Hall of Famer that I'm in a league with, who I think is, if not the best fantasy baseball player on the planet, certainly in the top five, are rolling out three catchers on their rosters as quite a deliberate strategy and streaming catchers through their roster. And I don't mean like they have three awesome ones, and I don't mean like they drafted Henry and got a third one. They're picking up various guys off of the waiver wire as their third catcher is a very deliberate strategy. It's not just like random, and it's not, I'm lazy. Like, this is clearly a strategy. Posma, I'll say that. In my league, at least I've seen most weeks, Posma has had three catchers on his roster in a 15-team main. and it's, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it's plasma, so it's probably good. It's just interesting to me. I don't know if that's something he does regularly. I haven't seen him do it before. Maybe he's been doing it for 17 years and I just didn't notice, but it's been interesting to me that he's been rolling out three catchers, not rolling out, that implies starting them, obviously only starting two catchers.
I got a guy in my league too, also a very, very good player, well known in the industry, Dalton Del Don. He is killing me. He is fucking killing me. Dalton, I love you, but I was like the first week to Hadarno, because this is the league I lost, you know, Murphy was pretty aggressive with my bid. He was in the 200s. I was like, oh, I'm like, I guess he needed a catcher. And that's like, no, he needed a third catcher. And I was like, this is interesting. And then just this weekend, when I've been trying to move on from Austin Wells, even though like underneath the hood, he's hitting the ball hard and I think he might explode right now. I was like, Connor Wong was available. Agelamaya was available. So I tried twice to upgrade them through them. And he got Wong, and I'm like, damn, that gives him three catchers. And the guy who won Amaya, it's his third catcher too.
Yeah,
so two people in my league, Rob, that's a great observation.
The only other I don't want to turn this into a catcher podcast, the one people hear the mock draft that we're doing, maybe they will wish in retrospect that we stuck with talking about catcher podcast. In one of my mains, somebody dropped Bo Naylor on Sunday for, I think it was Ivan Herrera, who had been picked up, obviously, when he was super hot, and then dropped. And I don't know if it's Ivan Herrera's, like, uncle who's in the league, and I don't want to shit on anybody, but I think that's an interesting move, dropping Bo Naylor. That's quite aggressive.
Wow.
Bo Naylor's done nothing wrong, I don't think, here.
Wow. Yeah.
So maybe that was even if you loved Ivan Herrera, maybe that's a case where you should have picked up a third catcher, because I can't believe that you didn't have somebody that you could have dropped other than Bo Naylor if you really wanted Ivan Herrera. Anyways, just interesting.
That is very, very interesting. All right, we'll hit on a couple of quick news items that I saw popped up as I was getting ready for this pod. But Jackson Holliday sent down. Option, terrible start. We all know that. Are you guys have any consideration of holding him in a main event? I think in a 12 team, you got to move on. But a 15 team, what do you guys thought?
Yeah, he's... I think you'll hold for just as long as you can. Like the other stashes you have. Like your IL ones or anything else. Like if you can put out a lineup, you try to hold. I don't know what it would all depend on what else you think you could get more upside than you could off of Holiday. 15's like, there's just nothing available. I'll kind of look this week, but I think we're finally cleaned all the pitchers off the wire and it's going to be kind of ugly here from the rest of the season. Usually we can kind of have some choices, but I think they're kind of done in 15's after the, going into this week. So I think you're holding there. 12s, he hasn't done anything, just move on.
I mean, the projections for Jackson Holliday rest of season for Steamer is 350 plate appearances, 6 home runs, 6 stolen bases, and a .239 batting average. The bat, X, who obviously hates all rookies and Asian players, has him projected for 400 plate appearances, 6 home runs, 8 stolen bases, .244. The thing is, if you drafted Jackson Holliday, you obviously didn't believe the projections for Jackson Holliday, or you weren't drafting Jackson Holliday because he was a terrible pick based on where he was going. And that's not hindsight bias. It's just a statement. There's lots of reasons if you're the top prospect in baseball, well, you should shrug your shoulders and say, I don't believe these projections. I think they're too conservatives. If you think the projections are even close to being right, he's like a barely replacement level player, and it probably below replacement level with all the risk that this still assumes like he's playing 100-ish games, right, which means he's back in 5 weeks, 4.5 weeks, I guess. Like, and I don't know why. Well, like, what's he going to do at AAA? Like, I guess if he goes there and just goes bananas in AAA hitting wise, maybe he gets up for that much. But it's tough to, I think he's one of those traps. You want to say, well, he's the top prospect in baseball still, so I have to hold him. And if I release him and he comes up and he's a superstar in the second half, look how stupid I'm going to look. And people are still holding, like, Junior Caminero, who's a less ranked prospect, super prospect. What's the difference? Like, I want this kind of spark in the second half. I don't know. I think it's, you have to take out your pride in it because you drafted him and he didn't deliver what you wanted from him. I think you cut him in all formats. I honestly do. I think he could come back and be a star. Yeah. I think it's way more likely. And we talked about this in the preseason. It's way more likely he comes up and is a good real baseball player in the second half for Baltimore. Mm-hmm. He has a good glove, pretty clearly, and could be a really solid ninth place hitter for them that, like, solidifies a position in their infield and is just a fine player. But I just don't know where the great fantasy player comes from this year. Like, I just don't think that 2 years from now, he could be a really good fantasy player, but I think he's going to be a real good baseball player first. So I cut him in any format.
That's interesting. Almost like, the first stages of Wanda, where it was like, oh, this is good in baseball, it's going to be good. And yeah, but like when he reaches the fantasy relevance, it's going to be a little bit.
Derek Hardys and real baseball players were like, he's averaged like 5 WAR per 600 plate appearance. And I'm like, yeah, but he's averaged 8 home runs, 7 stolen bases and a 250 batting average to give you WAR. And I totally think that's who he is in the short term.
And on the flip side, too, in terms of keeping in the running for the Rookie of the Year compensation pick, right now they have the favorite, or one of the favorites because of his hot streak and his hot start. And so it's not like they have to worry about, forking up a chance at that because they have several other ways to get it.
Also, they have 14 prospects who, like, they can't play right now. So, like, they need to win right now. Who they're going to get in next year's amateur draft shouldn't be guiding their decisions, obviously.
Yeah, I think you're right. I drafted him in the Saturday main. It was like a couple of days after they optioned him. So he went, down probably, about 50, 60 picks from where he was previously going when he was around. And I was like, all right, I'll take a shot here. And, great friend and trusted advisor James Anderson. I was just asking him, like, when do you think he comes up? And he's like, April 16th, and that's it. He's gonna be good enough to stay up. And like, even drafting him, though, I knew I wasn't looking for this, like, extraordinary 15-15 lock up the middle. I knew it might have been just like a really good average in some of the power and speed or more speed, but I was realistic about that. But now I think I'm even more realistic, like what you said, Rob, about it probably is just going to be replaceable production, that you can find. So,
and just to finish the thought, I think it was a really good risk where people were getting him after he got sent down in the main, because there was certainly a percentage chance that he came up and was a superstar right off the bat. So, like, there's a point in drafts, especially deep 15, tough 15 team league drafts, where taking a lottery ticket is really smart because sometimes they pay off and you move on. Like, it's not like if that team had Spencer Strider, that crippled your fucking team. It's not like Jackson Holliday was the reason that team, it's you, so the team's not struggling. But if it was struggling, that was a good risk still. Like, that wasn't a bad pick.
Right. No, I didn't think it was. I was willing to take it on at that point in the draft. All right. So I have four. We'll do three quick questions here before we get into our draft. Finish the sentence. By the end of the year, Tommy Pham will be number blank outfielder from here on for the rest of the year.
On the White Sox or in Major League Baseball?
In Major League Baseball, Rob. What's he going to be?
On the Raz. I'll let Jeff go first. On the Raz Ball Player Rater.
Let's do the player rating show. I still don't know what goes into it, but we'll do that.
60.
I'll feel 60. Okay.
Yeah. I'll take the over on 60. I don't think he finishes this year as a top 70 outfielder. And I have I picked up Tommy Pham in every Fab League I could the day that his signing was announced. I don't know what the fuck the White Sox are doing. Like
counting stats, right?
Mendick. Yeah, I don't know. Like, are they? Did they call him up today? Because they had an obligation under their contract. Did he give them an extension?
They had to agree to like the contract. Like, I think he's still playing in AAA. Like, he had to be on the 40 man. Like, there was some kind of roster. He doesn't have to be in the majors yet.
Okay. So did they create a 40 man spot for him like Thursday night? So they're not cutting him as of now. We don't think.
No, they added him to the big league roster.
So. Okay, I didn't realize that. Sorry. It doesn't change my answer. I like Tommy Pham.
He's coming up.
What do you think, Rob? Where does he finish in outfielder?
I think I really still do like him able to punish the ball and be as aggressive he wants on this shitty team as long as he gets on. But I just kind of peel back and look at what the offenses he played in last year, and even when he started getting full PT on the Mets, Alonso, Lindor, it's a lot of production around him, a lot of ways to get in and drive in runs, and even on the Diamondbacks, with Corbin Carroll in front of him, and it was two solid offenses. So I think the counting stats make me believe it won't be like top 50 or top 40, but I think if he was on a good team playing all the time, in the middle of the order, that can provide it would be top 40, but it won't be.
It's hard to see in a world where all 30 teams could have had him for free, presumably, at this point. People who are going to say, well, but they can trade him at the trade deadline, like short of even more injuries. I just, for whatever reason, people don't want Tommy Pham other than Rob DiPietro. He's the only one who wants Tommy Pham.
Oh, God. All right. Who will have rest of the season more fantasy value, Matt Mervis or Heston Kerstad?
Oh, geez. Jeff.
Mervis. I just think the Orioles are just loaded with talent. Yeah. And if the problem with Kerstad is if he struggles any bit, they have someone else that can play DH or whatever, statue they have him playing in the field, since he has no defensive value, which Mervis doesn't have much either. But, that's pretty much it. I think it's just going to kind of maybe come down to playing time. Mervis is playing good. It was weird that he actually had decent projections coming into the season. So we'll see how things work out.
Can I say neither? I guess it's a binary question. I think probably Mervis, but I don't know. The weird thing was, one of the players I left draft season with the biggest FOMO that I didn't get anywhere was Christopher Morel. I thought, like, my God, this is gonna punish me over and over and over again. And all my friends had Christopher Morel. So every time he hits two home runs on a fucking Friday afternoon, all I'm gonna get is Morel bomb. Text after text after text, and in the Discord, and Christopher Morel, and he started hot. It's like, oh my God, my worst fears are coming true. Like, it's spring training right into the season. It felt like he had 9 home runs in the first week, and the reality is Christopher Morel is barely a major leaguer right now, and like, they're going to give him a lot of rope, I think, to work it out. But for a guy whose glove is obviously a real problem when we're playing him in the field, and his bat is the carrying tool, and he is struggling since that like first initial burst. What does this have to do with Mervis? Is like, if one of them's hitting and the other one isn't, they have enough guys they can kind of move around, and ultimately both of them are sort of DHs. If you think Michael Bush is the first baseman and is not moving for first base, like, I really wonder. So that's an argument for Mervis. Is it like, Morel doesn't start hitting, they're going to move him up, and I just don't know how much rope Morel is going to get. Anyways, that's not really answering the question, because I don't really like either of the hitters that much this year.
I love it. That was a pretty epic rant, but I'll take it. I like it. And it provided a good context for Christopher Morel, too, if anyone wasn't paying attention to what he's been doing recently. I think Kerstad and Mervis are essentially a similar profile. You know, they both had strong barrel rates, good home run rate down in the minors. I do think that, I guess for me, I know Kerstad has more competition, I think it seems, with their loaded team, but it's like how much less time he had overall, I think, in the minors. I just feel better about a player that got there maybe a little quicker, even in a more crowded environment, versus Mervis, who just seems like we're always waiting for him to come forth.
So now it is nice to have another Jewish baseball player in the league. So Team Israel is obviously cheering for him right now.
Good. Fantastic. By the way, AAA home run leaders. Joey Loprofito's got 12, Hurstad 10, Tristan Gay 9, Ryan Ward 8, Kyle Garlick 8. And then you know who's next with 8?
Tommy Pham.
No, it's only 67 plate appearances. Danny Mendick, 8 homers, 67 plate appearances, 15.6% barrel, Rob. I bet you didn't know that.
Okay, so Danny Mendick. Jeff, I will PayPal you $50 if, without irony or sarcasm, when you're doing your list of hitters, you start the top of the list this year, Danny Mendick, great hitter, great spot in the lineup, number one hitter that you're recommending, and just quote his minor league stat line, Jeff.
Just do it.
I'll pay if you send you $50. If you, there's no nothing else, no other context. If the comments are really Danny Mendick, and you just say, yeah, like I wrote what I wrote. Titting at the top of the lineup was dominating AAA.
I'll have to see who's there. It could be.
I'm just saying $50 US. I'm not going to fuck you and send you $50 Canadian. I'm sending you $50 US. If you put Danny Mendick is top hitter on the list this week. Great hitter, great situation. I like the way you do that. Great hitter, great lineup placement.
Perfect. I'm trying to look little competition. Kind of above. Ahmed Rosario, Willie Abreu.
Easily. Mendick.
Mendick, right to the top.
This is the best name game we've played so far.
100%. All right, one more question before we do the draft. Rob, you had an interesting tweet and also a nice little breakdown in the Discord about one of the guys you've been talking about since early draft season when you got into your first draft champions, and that is Mr. Hunter Goodman of the Rockies. So give us the lowdown on him. What do you expect him to really get out of this season? Is it just because Nolan Jones is a little banged up? Is he sticking around? Is he going to catch? What do you got?
So for those people who don't know much about Goodman, if you, and it's just an easy thing to do when you're starting out DCs, and I obviously don't do a lot of DCs, is just take Steamer 600. And all that Steamer 600 really is, for those who don't use Steamer 600, it's basically saying per plate appearance, this is what they would do. But if you just do it as per one plate appearance, it creates a gibberish number. Like up the, you could be Juan Soto and you're going to get, you know, 0.242 home runs per one plate appearances. So nobody can look at that and mean anything. So you normalize it to 600 plate appearances and assume everybody will play basically all season, and it creates a meaningful projection. And then you compare everybody and you can run it through an SGP and see what it would mean for fantasy, even though by definition it's not real, it's not right. And Goodman popped on that. So Steamer on a per plate appearance basis, and that is him playing in Colorado for 81 games. Steamer 600 is still Steamer in terms of there's a park factor associated with it. And he was, like, I think in the original this winter Steamer 600, he was the second best rookie, but he was like a top 60 or top 70 hitter. And I was like, holy shit, this guy's being drafted at like pick 500. Or something. Let's look into him. And he did have a great power season last year in the minors. When I started talking to some of the prospect guys, he's not a nobody prospect. He was both a very good college power hitter and is a credible power hitter. He does catch, so he's not only a catcher. He started as a catcher. And all of the scouting reports said, like, he's a rough catcher. He is unlikely to stay at catcher. So they played him at first split base. They played him in corner outfield. And he has enough of a bat, they thought, the scouting guys, that in theory he could be kind of a fourth outfielder, hacky first baseman, who maybe could be an emergency catcher. in spring training, this is way more time than Goodman deserves. In spring training, they were using him as one of the catchers. Like, so when you saw bullpens going on, he was catching in spring training games. They were still rolling him out there. And at AAA this year, if they had given up on him as a major league catcher, it doesn't make a ton of sense for him to have started. I think it was 7 of 20 games that he played in AAA. He started a catcher. You don't do that if you think there's no way this guy is a catcher, even if you're the Rockies and do all kinds of stupid things. So the question is, so what is he going forward? Well, if you believe Steamer, he is the best rookie who's going to be called up, rookie hitter that's going to be called up this year. I don't quite believe that at all. I also don't know if Colorado actually sees him as like a worse shit, we need to give him 500 plate appearances and see what we have here guy, or just as an organizational depth guy. So I joked in the Discord, like, all of this tells me he is Tampa Bay's opening day DH in 2026 after Colorado gives up on him and Tampa picks him up for a bag of baseballs. He hit a home run, I think, last night, Rob, Jeff, I think I saw. So that'll get people's attention. If he goes into the like high school ballpark in Mexico this weekend and does something in Mexico and plays both games in Mexico, people could start going a little bit squirrely for him. I have no faith whatsoever that Colorado is going to not send him down next Monday. Like, I really don't. I don't have a reason to think that they believe what they have is something special and that they should play.
But us fantasy guys, us early DC guys were,
yeah,
clamoring. Oh, I checked
10 games, just 10 games.
Just a catcher. Yeah. Oh my God. If he gets the 10 games to catcher,
but even if he doesn't, like, even if he's an outfielder in first base, for those of us who took him in the 40th round or whatever of DCs, it's like, wow, suddenly I have another hitter here. Huge. It's like such a nice little luxury. I have choices. Like, should I play this guy or this guy versus I need 14 hitters? I have 14 hitters. We should play all 14 hitters.
Yeah, I searched him up on my teams and I saw DCCLQ and I said, yes, give me this gift that I need. Mr. Hunter Goodman. So no, I like that breakdown by Hunter Goodman. And hopefully we get it to see nice and early this weekend.
Yeah, and Jeff, if he hits 7 home runs this weekend in Mexico, he's still number 2 after Mendick. Remember that.
Yeah, all over it.
All right, Rob, so introduce this new, this little of experience we're going to go through right now.
Well, experiment. People know how much I love a good mock draft, especially like a month into the season, a mock draft. Nothing gives me more pleasure. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a mock draft to pick the worst possible team of players who went in the top 300, I think we agreed to, of drafts. So from now until the rest of the season, hypothetically, by player rater dollars earned. The only two restrictions are you can't pick injured guys. So anybody currently on the IL is not eligible. Obviously, Bieber and Strider and those guys are going to do nothing, and therefore, but that's lazy. And the second restriction is you can't take players or pitchers who are drafted as closers and lost their closer's job. So taking Leclerc, it felt like a cheap pick to me, doing that kind of Lang or those kinds of guys. Other than that, top 300 from main ADP, and two pitchers and two hitters each, I think we said.
Yep.
All right, I'll pick third if you guys can fight amongst yourself for the first pick.
Jeff, what do you want?
I want Tristan McKenzie.
There you go.
You got Tristan McKenzie. Put him on the board. You just think he's broken and is
when you're walking more than you're striking out. That's usually a bad sign.
Yeah, that is a bad sign.
That's just not there. It's 75% rostered. Like, I don't know how those people are. I don't know what they expect from it. Like, find anyone else.
Hmm. Yeah. So and plus the lowered velocity is it, and that he's got a tear in his arm. I mean, that's so many questions there. All right. And he was drafted, Jeff, when 170.
Oh, I should
174. Okay. I'm gonna start at player 120 ADP.
Jeez.
And this gentleman, since the All-Star break of last season, he has a 3.6% barrel rate, a 31% hard hit, and a 675 OPS. He has one home run this season, and his name is Nolan Arenado. Ooh. And I feel like this is just becoming a Ty France profile. And I'll get Ty France when I can get Ty France. So I think Cardinals all the way around have been probably picking on them a little too much, but it just doesn't look the same.
Did Arenado go to Driveline 2 this winter?
I don't know. Hopefully not, because then no one's going to keep going there.
That's rough. Okay, do I get two picks? Are we doing this as a snake draft?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be as bold as Nolan Arenado, though. It's a great pick. So the first one, he may be hurt. Is DL Hall. I think that the DL Hall starter experiment is now over, and it's not crazy to say that DL Hall could go into the bullpen and turn things around and be a useful reliever, but I'm not betting on it. And then I'm going to double up on crappy starting pitchers who are not on the IL, but Suck is basically his twin, AJ Puck. So I've got my two pitchers already taken.
Wow, you went Puck and Pocket Aces, huh?
Dude, if I'm doing a mock draft, I'm playing a win.
He just likes initials his first name.
Yeah, basically, I just find periods and got those two guys' names.
All right, I'm gonna wait on pitchers in this draft.
Interesting strategy. Are you gonna write up? Are you gonna write up a piece or do a separate podcast on your strategy for this?
100%. 100%. Okay. I'm gonna give you the projection for our teams and everything.
A cheat sheet for all the subscribers at the top tier. Only don't give this shit away for free, Rob. Of the cheat sheet that you developed for this mock draft, please share that with people after this is done.
You got it. I'm gonna do that. Another guy since the All-Star break of last year, 678 OPS, four home runs, four stolen bases. I'm talking about Jonathan India. This guy's too. He's he played every single day before he got ill, and he just has nothing. I feel bad. I really like Jonathan India. I hope he proved me wrong, because I just think he's a general good competitor type of person. But it's nothing there. I held on a little too long to in my OC just in case. He kept having good weeks coming up, and I'm like, hey, you know, that can't cut him this week, but gotta cut him now. I'm done.
And sort of
220. Sorry,
Sort of crazy how Santiago Espinal has become like a glue player for the Cincinnati Reds. Like he's getting 550 plate appearances this year, one way or another. Espinal.
Oh God. All right, Jeff. You got two here.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Rafaela of Boston.
Oh boy.
Whoa.
Wow. Who's been cut in a ton of 15 team leagues already, right? Well, I don't know. What's his ownership rate this week? Because I know he was cut. Oh, no, it was an OC.
OC was 92.
Okay, so he's still mostly owned. So you don't think, even though he is quite literally the only player who can play shortstop on Boston.
Well, I think that they're going to roll him out, but it's going to be one of those ones where it's like,
this is bad.
Yeah, this is bad. It's going to be constantly bad for. Yeah. That's their only option here for a while. Bad.
Yeah.
They have some other ones, like, but I don't know if he's going to get demoted, but it's just going to be bad.
Yep.
Interesting. I think I'm going to break Rob's heart here on this one.
No, you're stealing my hitter. If it's a Blue Jays hitter, there's no chance you're not stealing my pick from the next round. So go ahead.
I've got to take it. Well, no, let's go another way. Just I don't know what the team's going to do. And if he was on, not on Colorado, it'd just be horrible. But Nolan Jones is just horrendous right now. And like the only thing keeping him up, but he's, I kind of thought like this week he had to get it together and he just hasn't gotten it together. And like I said, the stats, like looking at him non-Colorado, just hate it. But he, I mean, there's the talk of the injury and everything else. But man, I'm going to go kind of high, but I wouldn't be surprised in 2 or 3 weeks if he's on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues.
In 12 team, in an OC, are you considering cutting him? Because you certainly, as of today, can stream better than Nolan Jones.
I think you would have to. I think I would have him as my bench, like backup. I would hope to, but I, God, like I was kind of giving him this week to turn things around. I don't. He was never close to me drafting him, so I don't have the choice. But man, he's just not doing anything, even in Colorado. I kind of think there's like an IL stint coming. Like he's talked about that he's kind of working through something, but you have to do something at some point. And Colorado does weird things. He's kind of young, so. You know, you're just going to have to send him back to the minors or something.
Here's the only thing I'd say about Nolan Jones. If he were a free agent in one of my leagues right now, I'd feel like I'd have to bid aggressively because if he's healthy in Colorado, there's still a reason to think that like and for 5 months that Nolan Jones could fucking save teams' offenses if you get Nolan Jones. So that I always use as a barometer, like, should I don't have Nolan Jones, but if I did, should I be cutting him? I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't have him right now that I'd be willing to bid a lot on Nolan Jones if he were suddenly a free agent. I don't know.
I kind of agree with you. I think and he was cut in one main event. This weekend. So
was it P. Dusso who cut him in a league yet? No,
not
because Phil's gonna have to unplug his computer, count to 10, and plug it back in terms of Nolan Jones.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, he's the kind of player that came up last year, and like you saw Phil kind of get a little aggressive on, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, there's the one guy who was really trusted at the offensive. You know, source coming in, and he hit, you know, he was awesome. I liked him all off season. I didn't get too much of him, but I have to agree. I take a shot at him. I think that's the kind of guy you take a shot on if you're wrong in a fab because he's a free agent. But then it also becomes, you know, Brandon Nimmo, it was a fab. He was a cut 3 weeks ago, and then he went fab the next week for $536.
Nolan Jones is two games in Mexico away from his whole stat line looking totally different.
Right. It's always so hard to really gauge those 99%ers. So in my main event CLQ, Jaime Candelario got cut, and I sat there for so long for like how much could, and that's what I was looking at. Nimmo, 538, a couple other guys, 300, 200. I'm like, you know what? I think 94 is a fair number. He's got first and third. I almost went to 140, but I was like, you know what? Let's just go here and see what happened. I won 94 to 88. I was fucking thrilled.
That's amazing.
I was so happy to get that. But again, those guys are really the ones that can.
Last Nolan Jones question. Do you feel better, Jeff and Rob, if news comes out and Nolan Jones says, I've been playing hurt all season? Or do you feel shittier?
Well, I think
because
he kind of has.
Has he? No, okay. Yeah, this shows that I don't play.
No, I think that was a recent little blurb. They've been managing it.
Okay. So at least that gives an explanation as opposed to I've just forgotten how to hit, like Byron Buxton. I just am not hitting. Oh, sorry. Did I give away your last pick, Rob? Oh,
you need to take a picture. I need to take two pictures. Yeah.
I could jam you. I could play head games like that and just drop Byron Buxton, and there's nothing you can do about it by rule.
Nothing I could do.
There's nothing like we can't trade picks now. You can't change the rules halfway. It delegitimizes the entire mock draft if you start doing shit like that.
And I'm already in trouble with the you know, with a lot of people. So let's just keep it simple here. All right,
we're all suspect about your ethics when it comes
activities,
to fantasy baseball. Yeah.
Please, big fucking bad ethics guy here. Yes. I'm gonna go pick 120. I'm staying in this range. I'm picking on this range, but. Cubs reliever Albert Alzolay, since the All-Star break of last year, Only 19 strikeouts and 9 saves, but 19-9 K minus walk. That's not great. 10% swing and strike rate. 2 home runs per 9, 21% home run to fly ball. He leaves the ball up in the zone. He's getting hammered. And I know there's a lot of question mark around Neris and even Leiter, or however they're going to handle it, but it's Craig Counsell. I faded Alzolay the whole thing, and this is not like a reinforcing victory lap. I just really am convinced that that's not the way it's going to go for most of the regular season, you know? And I think that this is the prime team to be the first team to add a legit upgrade in the pen, you know, to like firm the team being good and getting a lights out closer. So I'll go Alzolay as my first pitcher. Baiting pitching and trying to get ratios, though. I'm trying to get ratios.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, because you got to get all your categories covered.
What's the minimum innings? You never told me.
who, just so we have it on podcast, if you nail this in 6 weeks, I like the call that they're going to trade for somebody. Who do you think the first closer who is traded is? So who should I be specking on as a potential trade candidate?
Ooh, man, that's
No, Kopech. I don't want to put you. I didn't. Sorry, Kopech. Man, a crosstown trade. I just don't know if Kopech is reliable enough. If I'm trying to solidify things, that I trust Kopech yet to be a closer.
If the Mets weren't like actually winning and playing well, I would say Reed Garrett. Because it's just like a kind of guy like Robert Stevenson last year who just fucking went nuts. And some teams like, ooh, this new closer, he's cheap, might not be a big prospect, and we try to get him. But it was the first guy that came to mind in that light because of how well he's pitched and how cheap he may be to get.
So here's one. I don't know what he would get, and it would cause all things, is if the A's actually put up Mason Miller. And it's like, what do you guys want? Like, what would people... Would it be like the Chapman trade? I mean, it'd be even more than that. Like the guys.
That would be fun. And to be fair, who could blame them in some ways if they trade him? Like even forget them being the dirtball A's and homeless. It's like he's exactly the type of guy you sell high, as good as he is. I think you said, Rob, in the Discord or somebody today, best pitcher in baseball right now. Like you at least listen. Right? Like, because he's one pitch away, and you can say that about every pitcher. I don't know. I don't think it's crazy. That's interesting.
I've just seen him, like, these, especially these last two outings versus the Yankees. Like, Juan Soto is a really good baseball hitter. And
really? Some people compare him to Ted Williams, you know, Rob. I don't know if you've heard
I've heard the
that
comparison.
Is old, yeah, I don't know if you've heard that before.
Williams. But he had launch angle, Williams. But no, I don't know. I just he's just making them continuously look like they have no chance of hitting him. It's phenomenal. I hope whatever role he gets, I hope he just keeps pitching like this, because it literally becomes like must watch flip over when Mason Miller's on the mound. You know, 100%.
Totally.
So much fun.
The A's have already won more games this year than I think the White Sox are going to win by the end of the season. Like, I'm not sure that the White Sox get to 10 wins or whatever Oakland
that
is already.
That back end of the bullpen is nice with Urseg and Miller. Like, it's a pretty – like, they got some fireballs in there. Like,
no, Oakland is bad, but the White Sox are much worse. I get two picks. I need two hitters. First one, I thought this was who Jeff was going to take. Alejandro Kirk should not be a starting catcher in any league right now. You can stream better than Alejandro Kirk, and it pains me desperately to say this. The only thing he has going is Danny Jansen's already been healthy for 2 weeks, so is due for an injury. But other than that, Alejandro Kirk is horrendous right now. Like he's turned into Maldonado in terms of as a hitter. He's a good defensive catcher, good framer, but this mock draft is not using pitch framing as one of the categories, so that doesn't do shit for you here. For my last pick, my second hitter, I considered the previously mentioned Byron Buxton, because he is really, really quite bad right now. And I don't think that he turns it around, and I think he's due for an injury. I was between Byron Buxton and Nick Castellanos. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go with Byron Buxton, because Byron Buxton is both horrendous as a hitter, is not running, And I don't know that he can stay healthy. Like, if I told you he's going to get a full month, the idea that he's going to have one home run, zero stolen bases, is that where he still is staggering. And if Jeff found a piece of news next week that says Byron Buxton is hiding an injury and that's why he's hurt,
only one,
my response would be like, that sort of proves the point, isn't it? He's hiding an injury. So yeah, I guess I'll go with Byron Buxton. Like, I don't, if I had Byron Buxton in fantasy, which I don't, do you cut Byron Buxton in a 12? Sure, why not? Like, I don't know. Like, what do you think is about to happen to Byron Buxton? So if there are better outfielders every single week in OCs than I think Byron Buxton is. So I don't know that he should be owned in a 12-team league anymore. 15 is a little bit harder.
I like it. That's a nice call. I had Castellanos on the list.
He
had him noted. All right, for the last one, oh man, my last pitcher, I was going to go, I guess Louis Varland is kind of cheating.
I think that's fair. I'm still holding Varland in leagues. So I as commissioner of this mock draft, I'll give you Varland if that's who you want.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go bold here. I'm going to go bold.
Do it.
Just because, and not because of how good he may be, but I just don't think he's going to get enough innings to impact where people drafted and had to hold him for Paul Skeens. I don't think he pitches enough.
Wow. You're not playing for second place in this mock draft. You're either going to win or you're going to lose. Nobody remembers who finishes second in this mock draft. You either win or you don't.
100%. And if I want to be wrong, I want to be extremely wrong. Like, that guy is stupid. Wow. Where's Van Lee? Jeff, you got the last pick. You got to go pitcher here, right?
I got to go pitcher. Chris Paddock was really close, but I'm going to go with Gavin Stone. He just can't find the play right now.
Oh, very nice.
The whip on this on my team is going to be around like 2.1 or something between McKenzie and Stone if they keep going at the rate they're at. But yeah, it's.
Oh, I like that. You picked on your own players too. This is awesome. Yeah, you get more points for that, Jeff.
the other starting pitcher that I considered, I think he was in the top 300, so it was eligible in the main, was James Paxton. I think James Paxton, there's something wrong with James Paxton. He's not the James Paxton I thought he was going to be this year, so I don't think he's long for fantasy rosters at all.
Yeah, I think his release is a little off from like that knee. I think they'll bother him. He's not landing right. But interesting, two Dodgers come up. So, man, where is Emmett Sheehan to take advantage of this?
Emmett Sheehan and Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw. Poor Dodgers.
And like Landon Knack, a little bit more interesting. But I thought he was going to get picked up in more leagues. Only 65% ownership in the mains. That's going to be 100 soon, even if he's going back down. I think he's going to be sticking around on and off. But all right, good episode, guys. I love this mock draft. I'm going to print out the results at the end of the season, hang it up in the office. But I appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening.
If we can get Ariel Cohen to judge this.
Sure. 100%. All right, make sure you're doing interpretational skill on that. All right, thanks for everyone for listening. Once again, Launch Angle Pod for Rob, Jeff. I'm Rob. Peace.